we're going to start recording. All right. Good evening, everyone. It is Thursday, May 5th, 2022. It's 8:26 p.m. Eastern Daylight Saving Time. And I always trip up on that because I always forget if it's saving time or if it's standard time, but it's saving time. This is the Fakeologist Show, episode FAK529, and I call it the Marcus Allen Super Show because we have Marcus Allen, who is pretty much hosting it, and we have a couple of guests, a panelist, actually, regular panelists. We have Tiago from Sydney, Nova Scotia. Hello, Tiago.
Hello.
And we have Frank from Geelong, Australia. Hello, Frank.
Ni hao.
And now, over to the host, Marcus Allen, with Escape the New Normal.
So formal. I don't like that. Can we skip the fluff and get right to the stuff, Tim?
Yeah, well, of course. That's the way it always works out. Go for it. What's going on
okay,
tonight?
Okay, so obviously we're recording this live, but if you're listening to a recording, you can get the companion notes, as always, at fakeologist.com. And you click on the blog, and what is going to be the serial number for the show on your site tonight?
This is FAK529, unless I made
and
a
that
mistake.
Is Cinco de Mayonnaise. I saw that on Twitter. I'm stealing that. I like that. Yeah. Cinco de Mayonnaise. So 5/5/2022. And if you go to my website, if you want to see my notes, which are exactly the same because I passed the notes on to Tim, you can go to escapethenewnormal.com, click on the Marcus Allen Show, and look for something titled like, "This is why I like being tracked by the government in the USA." And that is the opening topic for tonight. I don't like to say regret, but I think I've made a mistake in my adult life by being so paranoid about being tracked by the government. And what I wanted to do is I took an hour this morning and I listed all the benefits of the government tracking me. And I wanted to see if you guys agree with that and see if we're perhaps being a little bit too paranoid about being tracked. And of course, we all know what the downsides are, so we really don't have to talk about that. But that's the question. Do the pros outweigh the cons on being tracked? So I'm going to go through this real quick. Hopefully it's less than 5 minutes and then we'll discuss. So, and I've done this pretty much in priority order. So I said that my Apple Watch tracks my resting heart rate, my blood oxygen level. And there is a big time rumor that coming with the Apple Watch 8, which is coming out maybe in a couple months, it's going to monitor, do continual glucose monitoring, which is amazing, especially for people with diabetes. I know my father-in-law, he's hooked up to a CGM and it's painful and it can come out and it's not very accurate from what I understand. And people have actually tested the blood oxygen levels against a regular device that tracks that on the Apple Watch, and it's been dead on every time. So I'm really excited about that coming out, and that's total tracking. Next, my iPhone tracks screen time, so it reminds me when I'm spending too much time on my devices. Of course, GPS is a big one for tracking, and GPS lets emergency responders easily find me if I don't know where I am. And of course, Diego will probably chime up on that because he used to be a paramedic or maybe still is. Next, my Apple Watch, I don't know if you guys know this, will actually detect a fall and call 911 if I'm unconscious with my GPS location. Apple Maps makes driving much safer. I can go probably 30 minutes talking about that. I love using Apple Maps. When I jump into the car and I plug the cord in into my iPhone, it gives me all the options. It knows where I've been before. It knows where I probably want to go. It tells me exactly how much time it's going to take to get there. And we purposely go off the beaten track when we travel each week just to take a new route. And it, for the exception of one time in the 5 years that I've had a phone, it has never steered us wrong. It was one time in Washington. For some reason, Washington trips up the Apple Maps. But besides that, it's always gotten us to the place, and it's remarkable how it knows when it says it's 43 minutes away to get to the beach or whatever the case is. I'm just blown away by that. GPS and tracking drastically increases the rate of finding lost pets and even people. There's, again, I'm a Mac person. I don't know if Samsung or Android or whatever that system is does the same thing. But on my device, there's something called Find My, and we all agreed to do that. We're all tracked. We all agreed to it. It's just a lot easier to, instead of trying to ping or track down someone, let's say my son likes to go 3 hours away with his friends. And when he's going to promise that he's going to be home for dinner on a Friday night, instead of bothering him and texting him, I could just see on the map where he's at and know that he's on his way. It's really cool. So there's that Find My service. Also, I can see where all my devices are in a glance. Again, with Find Mine, you can click on devices. So if you lost your iPhone, you can click on it and see where it is and go get your iPhone. In fact, that happened to my wife just a couple of days ago. We were in Washington, D.C., and she left her iPhone on a pallet of stones while she was using a porta potty. And we just pulled it up right in my device, and she knew exactly where it was. It was great. Geofencing is used in robots like the Roomba. I don't have a Roomba. Apparently, that cleans your living room, and it uses geofencing to figure that out. Also, I've seen a lot of this around here in the country. There's robotic grass cutting and even crop maintenance. So if you've got crops, they're using GPS to track and geofence and know where your property is. It's pretty cool. If you're a business person like Tim who drives a truck, there's mileage tracking. So you can probably just click a button and get a full report of the year of driving without having to track that manually. I think that's great. Tracking helps acquit people for being wrongly accused of stuff based on location. So you can use GPS to prove that you weren't at a scene of a crime, for example. Again, on the Mac and the iPhone and the Apple Watch, I love the fact that the apps get to talk to each other. It is kind of interesting when I do some research. Let's say I'm looking into, I don't know, the Club of Rome. And I get to a web page, and on that web page, it has a couple websites that it recommends. And usually those websites are long because they're blogs and they can't get a domain name that short. So it's a really long one. So then I open a new tab and I start typing the web address, and it fills it out for me. So in other words, Google is tracking the page that I'm on, looking for domains that are on the page, and auto-filling them when I open a new tab. I don't know if you guys have noticed that, but that's what's going on there. All my apps talk to each other, which is cool. So I can be on my iPad and I'm on one web page, and then I need to get to my laptop for some reason, and it'll carry over to my laptop. Very, very cool. Very convenient. I'm about halfway done with these pros. Let's see. I can ask my iPhone to rate this restaurant. I can literally say, hey, Siri, rate this restaurant if I'm in a far-flung place. And immediately it'll know because I'm being tracked what the four restaurants are within my space and lets me know what that is. It's very cool. Let's see. I can ask my Apple Watch to ping the location of my iPhone if I lose it. So it's another way of tracking down your lost iPhone. In Apple Photos, I can search photos by date, location, even the person in the picture. And then I just talked about websites remembering preferences. For example, if I go to Weather Underground, which is my favorite place to find the weather, it always shows the weather for both my home and my favorite location. So I can store favorite locations as a browser cookie. And when I go there, boom, 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 I click it. Again, it's tracking what my favorite locations are, and there it is. YouTube. Almost always shows the videos that I like. It's uncanny how it knows what videos I like, again, because of tracking. Most websites know that I speak English because they track this. If I'm at Amazon, it remembers what's in my shopping cart if I get distracted. So let's say I go put something in my cart, and then I come back an hour later, it remembers that, again, because it's tracked. And that gets into targeted ads. Now, some people don't like ads. I love ads. If something is targeted and it's of interest to me, I've never heard of it before, I'm appreciative that someone has spent the money to throw an ad in front of me. Now, of course, if you get too many ads, you can do an ad blocker. It's also great as a personal assistant. So I use reminders and the calendar and the navigator on the Mac ecosystem, and it's fantastic. And we talked about autofill. We talked about Amazon. I can see where my package is in real time. Even better, and then again, this is tracking. I've had several occasions when my package from Amazon came to me and it was delivered to my neighbors two doors down. And because of the GPS tracking that the USPS has, the post office has, we were able to track down that package. Before the tracking, it would be lost and I'd have to wait for another package to be resent out. Credit card transactions contain a date, time, and location for each purchase. Credit card companies contact us based on this tracking to prevent stolen credit cards. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten contact from my credit card company because it seems like, someone just interrupted me about, okay, that's Dante. Someone stole my credit. Someone appears to have stolen my credit card, and because it doesn't match my spending patterns, which is tracked, they were able to cancel. So I didn't have to pay for that stolen credit card, which is pretty sweet. And that's what I have. So, one, do you guys agree with me or disagree with me? If you disagree with me, why do you disagree?
The question is, what do you agree? Do you agree that tracking is good? As in,
the punchline for me is that being tracked by the government and by corporations has way more pros than it does cons.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying there are no cons. Trust me on that. I only have a smartphone for 5 years now. I was one of those people who'd be like, no, no phone. It's tracking you. And I was the guy who didn't get an Easy Pass until 5 years ago. Cause I'm like, hey, they're tracking your travel. That's ridiculous. You don't want that. But now I'm kind of revisiting whether the paranoia is worth it. Is it worth being paranoid? And for example, it really bothers me that that single mom who donated $50 to the truckers convoy, Freedom Convoy, had her bank account frozen. In fact, I have a whole business built around that exact problem. Now, is that a widespread thing? Will it be a widespread thing in the future? Is that something to worry about? Are we making a big to-do about nothing? Are we missing out on the great things in life because we're so paranoid about being tracked?
Well, I like Frank's quote on paranoia. I think maybe we should just bring that up real quick so people can enjoy it.
Well, sure. It's that just because you're paranoid, it doesn't mean that people are not out to get you, does it?
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing, Marcus, is that the benefits that you're talking about, mm-hmm. the way of life that we are being moved to cannot exist without those tools being made available on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, and again, those benefits can be taken away at any time. So the issue then simply becomes how much of your autonomy do you want to give up for the convenience?
Mm-hmm.
And it's really the great divide, I think, is what you would call it right now. People are either going to move into Amazon or they're going to try and be trading amongst themselves, I guess. You're either going to be in the world or out of the world, I think, is the future that faces us.
Do you think you could do both?
I guess I think I can, but I don't think I've got any proof that I can.
Mm-hmm. Does anyone know anyone personally who has been, for example, I've heard and I've talked about this in the past. People have typed into Google, I have cancer, what should I do? Or something to that effect. And next thing you know, coincidentally, their insurance policy was canceled.
Oh, wow.
I've never heard that one. That's funny, though.
No.
That would be a direct, like, no deal for me to do any of the things all the benefits that I just talked about. If that's going to happen on a regular basis, that would eliminate all these great benefits and conveniences that I get by being tracked.
But let me follow that up for a second, yep. Marcus. I don't think it's possible for an insurance company to do that anyway.
Mm.
You know, just the idea there is that somehow you notify the insurance company you've got cancer and they cancel your policy. Well, that's, I think that breaches the contract.
Mm-hmm.
However they came to know about your cancer, it doesn't allow them to jump from the policy. I don't think that story can be true.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that's what this is. This is a more of a thought exercise.
Yeah.
Should we, again, be paranoid / careful / I mean,
Well, one of the examples, if we look at the Google thing where you say, oh, I've got cancer, what should I do? And so Google gives you the answers that Google wants to give you, whatever.
Sure.
You know, and I would suggest that most of those answers are not going to be helpful to people, really, if you're mm-hmm. going to go and get chemo and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're answering your own question. There's a lot of disadvantages of moving into a hive mind.
But is this a hive mind? That's the question. What are these conveniences right now currently a hive mind, or are we preparing for what the future holds?
Well, I think that the things you're talking about, where you're looking for recommendations for restaurants and so on, are really going to steer people into the cuisine that the people that own the software want to send you.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because there's rumor, but not confirmed, I've looked for it, that Apple Maps gets a percentage of the tolls that it recommends on Apple Maps. In other words, Apple Maps can take you to, from here, Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, to Washington, which would take a lot. It could take us the non-toll way, or it can take us, or it could recommend the toll way, and they get a percentage of that toll from the toll company. That's the rumor, anyway. And it does seem that they do want you to go through a toll road, because it's the fastest way to go a lot. Yes, so it's interesting that you bring that up.
And I have experienced that similar feeling, that level of paranoia that, why am I being sent this way?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it wouldn't be amazing to me to find out that they were getting a cut.
Mm-hmm. You wouldn't be surprised.
So in summary, my view is that moving into the Hive Collective is not going to be a benefit in the long term. I think particularly if you look at the health of Americans now, they're now saying that half of the US population is effectively diabetic or insulin resistant or equivalent.
Mm-hmm.
This was something that was unheard of 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even a disease. I think the hive mind mentality is sending English speaking people to the abyss.
Okay. Diego, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think the problem here is the worry for me anyway. The worry is all these benefits that you're mentioning. Mm-hmm. They all are intertwined with a corporation. Mm-hmm. That you don't know how mm-hmm. deep they are intertwined with the government. That's the issue here for me. So right. That's why I limit my digital footprint as much as I can, because all these benefits that you're mentioning right. is just another, I don't look at them as benefits. I look at them, you know, they might be benefits to you personally, but to me, it's just information gathering for large corporations in conjunction with government, a fascistic state that we're witnessing here moving forward. So for me, absolutely not. I don't care about a lot of the stuff that you mentioned there. I mean, you know, to me, to some people it might be, you know, beneficial to them, but for me, I try not to use anything like that at all. You know, if I have to travel somewhere, I'll just look up real quickly where it is on my home computer. I'll memorize how to get there, and, you know, I'll do everything by using my brain. I don't use a GPS. I don't use anything like that. I hardly ever use my cell phone. So for me, I'm like Frank, maybe in a little way, I'm just paranoid because I don't want these people knowing what I'm doing. I don't even like them knowing what I like to eat, what my interests are. I don't like them knowing anything. That's nobody's business. And mm-hmm. at any time that you have an application on an iPhone or an Android, instructing these decisions for you. The problem here is you don't know where that information is going. You don't know what government agencies have all that information. You know, most people think only the corporations have this information. I don't think so. I think government and these major corporations are one.
Mm-hmm. Tim?
I was going to interrupt you at the beginning when you're talking about the continuous glucose monitor. My experience with my daughter is everything you said, I have the complete opposite. The thing does stick on real well. It is very accurate. And the last thing I think you said, I can't remember what it was, but it is extremely useful, actually. And it does prevent, and it does prevent constant finger pricking and bloodletting, which is painful and extremely annoying and causes all kinds of cumulative scar tissue, especially on your pinkies, on the ends of your fingers, which it's very sensitive there. So I actually think it's a good thing. And yeah, I'm pretty sure you sign an agreement or click an agreement that information is shared.
Yep.
But I don't know who it's shared with. And I don't know if it's shared with anyone outside the corporation, the Big Pharma that creates the database and shares it with your medical practitioner, but that's one that I definitely be willing to give up privacy just to have that convenience, because it's damn convenient and there's really no other way other than to continuously prick yourself to simulate that same information. And I know my daughter thinks it's extremely valuable, even though it costs a fortune to to run. It's super expensive.
Mm-hmm. What about all the other stuff like GPS? I mean, well, you're a truck driver. What would you do without GPS?
Well, I don't really. I used to use a map for a long time before I had a data plan for my phone. I've had a phone since the beginning of phones. So yep. I did have the map cracked open all the time. And otherwise, I just listened to the traffic on the radio, which is pretty good, where they watch, the traffic reporters watch all the cameras to tell people where the problems are. So I could live without it as well. I do like it, but I could definitely live without it. It doesn't really make or break my day if I know the exact time when I'm going to arrive somewhere. It's interesting. I find it statistically quite accurate, but I could live without it. But I use it just because I enjoy just playing with technology. And I don't really think that, even though Google probably does sell my data, and I know, like you said, and I've heard many others say, that the way their data is mined and sold off is extremely valuable, and it's happening all over and over and resold. I accept that trade-off, and I've used my geographic history to remind myself what I did a certain day when, for instance, I wasn't paid to go somewhere. I can't remember 2 weeks ago, did I actually go there? So I've actually looked up and see where I've gone on the timeline on the Google Maps. So it is valuable. It is interesting, but you could live without it. And I have for many years lived without it because it's still pretty recent technology. So I'm making the exchange every day for convenience, for privacy. I know that, but I'm cognizant of that. But mm-hmm. on many other things, I try and stay away from big tech and their conveniences, like email. I think that's pretty easy to do because I don't want them reading through my email, mainly just so they can data mine and sell me stuff. Although it is kind of fun. Okay, I haven't really experienced too much of it where you may talk and then your phone is listening and the next thing you know, it's serving up an ad that it thinks had a keyword in it that you may have said, not directly. So, but I stay away from big tech's search engines as well. So I do some things that I don't think they need to know and avoid them, but there's certain other things that I'm willing to trade off that I'm not too concerned about.
What about paying for tolls? How do you do that?
Well, we have a one toll road, and that thing obviously tracks you, so it knows when you get on. It's the same as your EasyPass system. Mm-hmm. And
So you opt for that? You don't pay cash. You opt for the
There is no cash. There's no toll booths here. We have, like Israel, I think we have one of the few toll roads that has no humans at the on or off ramps.
We've had that for a year now here. So
yeah, we've had it for a long time, since 1997 when they built the road across Toronto. So
that's kind of the point I'm bringing up. Like, mm-hmm. Do you stop driving because you're being tracked?
No, I don't. And I know our toll road costs a fortune. So it's like eating an expensive dinner. If I really need to be urgently in need of saving time before I'll get on it, or saving a great distance that it might cut off. But yeah, I'm not too worried about that aspect either.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like for the exception of me, you guys are like, I don't like the tracking. I don't think it's beneficial.
I think you've really got to think about the world, mm-hmm. if you like, mm-hmm. and when you're in it and when you're not in it. To be in this world, you have to use those technologies. You're not able anymore to buy and sell without this system.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a fact. So, mm-hmm. but you're not always in the world. There are aspects of your life that you separate from the world, aren't there? And I think it's a lot of it is about understanding what it is you're doing at the time. That seems to have stopped you quite dead in your tracks.
I'm waiting for you to give me like an example or something.
Well, so if you're running a business like I am,
mm-hmm.
then obviously you need to keep receipts, etc., for taxation purposes. You need to keep a travel record for your car expenses.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those things are now done easily through a phone.
Right.
And that aspect, right, makes it more easily achieved to keep up with the increasing demands of paperwork from the world, while at the same time, not spending all your time actually writing out paperwork. So there are all of those benefits that you spoke about are really to keep track of your worldly activities, for want of a better word.
Agreed. The question is it dangerous to think the way I'm thinking, where my headline is, this is why I like being tracked by the government in the USA?
Okay, so the point I would make now is, you blended, in my opinion, your private functions, you as a living man, mm-hmm. with your functions as a person of the world, as a person, if you like, in the legal sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where the differentiation should take place. Understanding when you are being a legal person and when you're being a private individual, when you're operating in the private, when you're operating in the public.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, what choice of restaurant I go to,
mm-hmm.
When I'm having conversations about something and I get ads for those things, they're the things that I think, well, okay, now the public is interfering with the private, and that's not okay. I think that's the differentiation that we're wise to make.
I'm surprised by the lack of enthusiasm about talking about this, quite frankly. Pun intended.
It's not really a big concern of mine. I think we have a million other things to worry about, but I'm not really worried about that. This is an old topic, and I think many people have just accepted that technology and that convenience, and most people are not too concerned about their lack of privacy. I really think that the story that you also brought up about the bank account freezing, I think it needs a lot of clarity, because it started off as a very insidious idea, but the actual mechanics of what happened, I don't think are widely known. Now, the one woman whose bank account was frozen. I don't know or have never confirmed that story.
There's a few confirmed stories of that.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know
how. But again, that could be a lie too. Right?
I don't know how long it was frozen, who initiated the freezing. And when people say the government, well, the government is just a bunch of departments. So who in the government? Did the prime minister or his office call a bank and say, do you know this person, and turn off their account? We really need more information and no real allegation. I heard one story that one of the police officers walking around Ottawa grabbed a license plate of one of the parked vehicles and then maybe was able to run the plate, because most police officers can bring up that information, and then may have somehow drawn a connection there to the owner of that vehicle or the registry of the vehicle, and then somehow, or maybe just read the name off the truck. But I don't know exactly the mechanics. But it did echo around the world, but I don't know if Trudeau, the prime sinister, actually started saying, start freezing bank accounts like some kind of comic book character. I think there were a few more details. But to be sure, it's not a great thing to contemplate. And that power, that idea of that power, is definitely going to be baked into future currencies and digital technology, and it has to be discussed. And if it's going to be a thing, then people need to know how to guard against it.
Well, the comment I would make, Marcus, on what you're saying is, it's these benefits that I think are lulling people in to the trap.
But here's the thing, Frank.
As a go ahead. Pot.
Sure. But here's the thing. It's now been, Tim, when you say you were the first one to get a phone, what year was that?
Well, I had the Motorola brick phone, the one if you picked it up too fast, you could knock yourself out.
Me too.
Me too, yeah.
The one that people drove over, that it didn't break. I think the two-way radio, it really was developed by the military for two-way communication, and that's really what the phone, I believe, that Motorola thing was sort of based on. I also had the car phone, which the lead acid.
What year was that?
I probably got about 1988.
There's my point. Mm-hmm. 88, that's 12 plus 22 is 33.
Mm-hmm.
33 years. And does anyone here on the call or in the chat, because we're looking at it live, know of anyone who's been fucked over because of tracking? Because I don't.
No, me neither.
So what are we worried about?
I'm not worried. Actually, the real tracking is going to be with the, I don't know what level it is around the world, but the QR codes. Because when you check in, then that information, that check-in, is going to be forced just so you can get in and out of places. That's like a registration everywhere you go. But
The other issue is turning off your benefits, right? So these issues that people are, you know, when they said they were freezing the bank accounts, I know Chris Skye was mentioning that they can't authorize his bank account with the Royal Bank of Canada,
meaning
he went in there and they wouldn't verify the account, even though he showed them his identification.
Yeah, that was insidious.
Yeah, Rebel News couldn't get a loan. They had excellent credit. They couldn't get a loan by the Royal Bank of Canada. Mm-hmm. So these are all issues where this particular tracking that you're speaking of is, if you do something they don't like, who's to say in the future whether they're going to turn you off from something? Now, whether that may be financial, from one of the benefits that you're enjoying. See, this is the thing that I don't like. They can turn things off at a moment's notice electronically.
Yeah, without a hearing.
Without a court, without a judicial overview, without anything like that. That's the issue that I have. And here in Canada, I don't know so much in the United States, but here in Canada, you know, listen to what these people are saying. Listen to what our prime minister is saying. He's saying out loud, we're going to shut your bank accounts down. This is a very bad omen to begin with, to listen to a leader of a country saying this. So my question is right back at you. What do you think the next 30 or 50 years is going to look like if this guy's talking like this already?
Well, let me be very clear. Again, I wrote this headline and came up with this list as sort of a controversial devil's advocate, great mm-hmm. conversation type of thing. Tomorrow I am launching something that I've been working on since 1986 that flies in the face of it goes completely opposite of this entire list.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know where to go with this. Take contact tracing, for example. We were told that if you were within a certain amount of distance to someone who has COVID, then you have to quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
How did that work out? I don't hear of anyone getting in quarantine because of contact tracing. So no, is this another scaremongering thing?
Yeah, they were coming to people's homes here in Canada because of this contact tracing and harassing them with phone calls.
But that's on the news. Do you personally know someone that happened to? Because
yeah, absolutely, myself.
Okay.
Yeah, I went to Montreal. I came back. And they started calling me, harassing me because I had to quarantine when I got back from Montreal here in Nova Scotia.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is the problem that I have with all this is that's why when I go to where I stash my gold, my silver and all that kind of stuff, I leave all my electronic stuff here at home and I ride my bike where I got to go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't take my car. I don't take my phone with me. I don't take anything with me because a big part of this is we don't know where this is going in the next 20 years. It doesn't look good where it's going right now.
Agreed.
But it doesn't look good. But I have a very bad feeling about this when you got leaders of countries threatening they're going to freeze your bank account. This is ridiculous. Right. This is not good. And this is why I just think, you know, a lot. Yes, you're talking about a lot of great benefits that technology has. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But it also comes with the downside because you mm-hmm. don't know how they're going to utilize this to hurt you in the future.
Right.
The other observation is China, which is really at the forefront of all of these technologies. Right now, they are locked down totally.
Right. A lot of people don't know that, yeah.
So I think we are been told exactly what the benefits of all of these benefits are. you get it.
Oh, it's marketing, sure. Hmm. Yeah.
By the way, sorry to interrupt. I wanted to quickly ask Tiago, do you check your bike for air tags? Are you familiar with this technology? Because I'm hearing stories of abuse on this one, too. This is a fun one.
Yeah, but that's another lie. See, there's a lot of lies.
No, I don't
Apple
know.
Apple has this AirTag thing.
Yeah, go ahead. I don't know if it's a lie because
100%. I've looked into it.
Okay,
so with AirTag technology, mm-hmm. you have this little nickel-sized piece of plastic with an RFID thing on, and it triangulates your location based on mm-hmm. other iPhones. So that it's contact tracing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And
so the network uses is other iPhones?
Yes, it only uses iPhones.
Oh, okay, that's cool. And right. iPhones dominate the market. What percentage of smartphones are iPhones?
This is what I'm saying. There's a lot of lies. There's a lot of things that they're scaring us with that are not true. One of them is that someone went to Disney. I'm trying to remember this. It was a couple of days ago. Went to Disney. And for 4 hours was being tracked against their will. And the only reason they found out is because their iPhone let them know that there was a rogue AirTag tracking them.
Oh, okay. That's funny. So that's BS. That doesn't happen.
No, what I'm saying is that's awesome that Apple, but believe me, I'm not a fan of Apple these days. I used to be, not anymore. But Apple has this technology that knows that you're being tracked rogue from some stalker. And it alerts you on your watch and on your phone that there's a possibility that you're being tracked, and it tells you where that tracking disk is.
Mm-hmm. And you know what, Marcus? All that technology, that's cool. That's really nice technology. But the question is, do you trust your government officials to be prim and proper in the next 20 to 50 years and not utilize these technological advances using them against you? And you know what? Quite frankly, I don't trust any of these people. That's the real issue is I don't trust government. I don't trust anybody, especially any politician, to do the, you know, quote unquote, the right thing with this kind of technology. Absolutely not. No mm-hmm. way. Mm-hmm. That's just my personal opinion. That's why I hardly, even my daughter asked me, oh, Dad, you hardly ever use your phone. I hardly ever see you pick up your phone. Say, you know what? I hardly use any of this technology. I just don't trust anything that these people are doing. So, you know, if I'm going to donate some cash to somebody, it's going to be by mail in cash.
Right.
It's not going to be through, you know, any other means that they can track, you know, who I'm giving my money to. So, you know, I've learned after that experience with Prime Minister Trudeau, but, and I think everybody in the world should be learning, you know, from the Canadian truckers, in Australia and the United States, you know, and I'm sure a lot of the people that are listening to this podcast, they already know. I don't have to tell them. They already know not to trust these people. They are, you know, to me, they're scum. They're not to be trusted, especially with high performing and, you know, technology like you're explaining. You know, it's even worse because they're going to utilize that technology at some point towards you. And what Frank said about China, that's a great thing to look at because they're the lead when it comes to this kind of stuff. All you have to go look at is Shanghai and Wuhan and all these places. They're technologically miles ahead of our cities here in Canada, but it's a good window in the future. What the future looks like, you know, if we continue going on the path that we're going technologically.
And speaking of cash, you bring up a good point. There is a website, and I'll put it in the companion notes, called Molvad. I'm sure I'm saying it wrong. It's in Sweden, VPN. And they take all non-trackable money, including cash. And I just wrote them a couple of days ago. Mm-hmm. And I said, hey, I'm really impressed that you take cash. Have you had anyone report having their money being stolen in the mail? And they basically said, no, it's getting through. Mm-hmm. I thought that was interesting. Another thing to keep in mind, too, a lot of people don't know this, but if you have a flip phone, the modem in the flip phone pings out your location, too. So if you think you have a flip phone and you're not being tracked, you're high as a kite. You're being tracked.
Yeah, well, all phones triangulate.
That's right.
To get a signal. And they pick the best signal because the whole point, that's the whole essence of cell phones. They are going between cells and seamlessly, so your call does not drop.
Right.
They're constantly measuring the strongest signal, and they'll take that tower.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So next on my list of questions is, why does the government really want to track us? What is their motivation?
Well, I think it's for future use. Really, I think right now it's just being tested and trained, and eventually they're going to limit where you can go as per Agenda 21, which is probably the most important document that anyone could understand right now that's been out for a long time.
Agreed, yeah.
So I really think that when they get everyone in the smart cities, they're going to do their damnedest to limit people and their mobility, which is anti-Western constitutions. But I think maybe they're just going to make people be addicted to staying home so they don't have to really do too much enforcement on that as well.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be much easier. Much easier.
See, that's what I'm saying. I think a lot of this is scaremongering.
How many cops... What does a cop have to do to slow thousands of people down on a highway? He just has to park by the highway.
Right.
That's it.
Well, now, not just that, but our highways have had these rope barriers placed on each side of the roads.
Mm-hmm.
Some so close to the edge that you can't pull over on the side to repair a tire anymore.
Why is that?
Well, they say they're safety barriers to, you know, prevent cars running off the road.
But
what these barriers have done have effectively, you know, you can't escape from these roads anymore. It's very strange. And these safety barriers are known to have increased the death the chances of death in an incident.
Wow, so your roads are trying to kill you now. Wow, what isn't trying to kill you in Australia?
It is full on, I tell you. have you guys not seen these road barriers?
I never heard of it. Doesn't
are you talking about the concrete road barriers that they put in place?
No, they said they rope. Are, they're a, there's an upright pole which is made out of a kind of recycled plastic, and between them is four or five woven steel wires.
Oh my God, that sounds dangerous.
I know.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Never seen that.
I'll see if I can find an image and I'll post it. So they're all along the highways and, you know, major roads in Victoria, and they just keep putting these barriers up. They are dangerous. Just absolutely mind-blowing. So when you talk about how easy is it for a policeman to control the highway now, it's very easy.
Alan Watt always talked about, if you notice going towards any city, there are these huge concrete walls that are separated by steel beams. And they're supposedly for sound barriers.
Yeah, I know. You brought this up many times. I've argued with you on this one.
Like, oh, so it's not me, it's Alan Watt who says that. So you disagree
he's
with
dead.
That.
Yeah, because
now that he's dead, even though I don't think he's dead, do you think that's just ridiculous?
What was
conspiracy?
The reason he said? I forgot because it was stupid to me.
To corral us when they give the go sign.
No, I think they're sound barriers. They are effective, and I think the problem is they're like weeds. Once people see that a certain section of it goes up, then they want it themselves. So they are very effective.
Mm-hmm.
But no,
it's, yeah, I'm not agreeing with him, by the way.
No, they are sound barriers and they do work, and they just get thicker and thicker because the metal ones rust and then people run into them and then they get full of holes and they look really ugly. So they just put one up on a highway I go on all the time, and it's this one is at least, I'm going to say, 30 feet high. It's huge. It took them a year and a half and it must have cost a fortune. So no, I don't think it's to corral. It's not
Frank just posted the cable bearer, and I'll post it in the chat. We did have one of these put in here in Pennsylvania on Route 1, which is a very popular highway, but it was in the grass. It was in the grass almost like it was trying to stop the deer from crossing the road.
Yeah, so ours are right on the side of the major highways. So, you know, we used to have a stopping lane. Well, you have a stopping lane where you can change a tire or something on a freeway. And then the verge, well, sometimes these rope barriers are put in so that you really can't use the emergency lane anymore.
Mm-hmm. All right. There must be a reason. Maybe they're using it to drive in the emergency lane. But it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, it didn't make a lot of sense when they put it in Route 1. It was in the middle of the median. And if some car hits it, it's going to, like, kill their car. It's not like a guardrail. Guardrail definitely helps keep your car from veering off the road. These, it's like poles of death.
It just...
yeah, I'm looking at them now. They look...
Hitting that with your car at high speed.
Wow. It would look like it would transect the car and you...
It's not really great for motorbike drivers, I can tell you.
Well, it says, I'm reading the Wikipedia on that, and they said a study of motorcyclists' injury rate says there's no appreciable difference between the cable and the W-beam barriers. So there you go. It's better than nothing, it says here, because if you cross over, the kinetic energy of you going one way and the other vehicle going the other is, of course, double.
Now, let's think about what we're talking about here. In this example that you've got there in Sweden, it's to stop people crossing from one side of the road to the other, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Victoria, they're on the outside of the roads as well. They're not just in the
you said that.
In the middle of the road.
They don't want you to veer into the grass because it's dangerous.
You kill dandelions.
They don't want people getting off.
Oh,
that
Frank,
road.
You are good at writing letters to your Australian authority. I really suggest you find out what is the purpose of that, because it doesn't make a lot of sense if you have to pull over with a flat tire, or pull over to rest, or you're having a vaccine adverse event. You need to pull over.
We certainly found out when Melbourne got shut down. You know, I don't know if you're aware that they did this thing that they called the Ring of Steel.
Yeah.
Around Melbourne.
Yes.
And people, these wire ropes conveniently placed in time to make it possible to lock Melbourne down that way. Because up until then, people could just drive off the road and go wherever they liked. But of course, that was impossible. And this idea of a ring of steel around Melbourne wouldn't have been able to work without those rope barriers being in place. Hey, as a cherry may say, you may call me a conspiracy theorist, but I'm just telling you what happened.
Yeah, so they basically used those to contain you guys, right? For markers. Yeah, created a wall around it. Yeah.
It was this thing was planned years and years in advance.
Yep.
And
has to have been.
Just, right. Yeah, because I remember watching that Ring of Steel on the internet here, and I was wondering how are they keeping so many people in like one city? How can you guys not escape through side roads and dirt roads and all this other kind of stuff? It was, but now I understand. So they would. Oh my.
Yeah. And the other thing they've done, of course, is to build all these super highways and basically cut off the sort of less, you know, the many ways people used to go, and everyone jumps on these big roads. And, of course, traffic congestion is made much worse by the super roads than what was happening before. I mean, if you compare the road system of the United Kingdom, where they just have, you know, A, B, and C roads and roundabouts rather than traffic lights. Traffic in England flows really quite well. But here, I noticed Vancouver is just as bad as Melbourne as well, by the way.
In what way?
The number of people. The when I was there, it's quite some time ago now, 20 years ago, the traffic in Vancouver at peak hour just was a gridlock.
Yeah, because because they're so left wing. I used to live there. They don't build highways. They won't build any highways, and then just the regular roads are just gridlocked. There are some highways, but not enough. But they resisted it because they just think that roads create traffic, which is in a way it's true. But you know, people and goods still have to move, and if they don't move efficiently, then they have to move on inefficient streets where there are people and bikes and all kinds of other obstacles that limit, and it causes more pollution. I'm convinced of that. I have no problem with that theory, obviously.
Like the speed humps do.
Yeah. I'm a bit of a traffic file, as in I like traffic because that's what I've been stuck in for the last 40 years. So I understand it. And I understand how things work because I live it, just like you understand salt and Tiago understands trading. You should ask the people that use the stuff what their opinion is because they're soaking in it all day long. So Vancouver is a bit of a joke for that. And I've been stuck for hours crossing dilapidated bridges that are not twinned or not doubled up or are in bad state of repairs. They just refuse to advance. And that's, of course, where China beats all of us because of their one-party system. They can just get things done. And you can see how this democracy just gets in the way of progress for so many.
But that's a good example, Ab. When, you know, I went to China when they basically was very few cars on the road, right? Mm. And everything was fine. And then they started building these super highways. And I thought, why are they doing this? They don't need them. People are obviously happy without cars. There's no.
But then they got money and then they started buying cars. And some of the biggest traffic jams I've ever seen are from China. It's incredible.
And now that China is just a total mess of cars and the same as everywhere else in the world, why on earth would a thinking government have pursued the same stupid policy when they didn't have to?
Well,
you know, the Chinese government has been lauded for having no, you know, not being held up by democracy in doing something that, as far as I'm concerned, is just completely stupid thing to do.
You're anti-car? You know,
it's crazy. You know, if they were operating completely functionally 25 years ago without cars and superhighways, now they're in a gridlock and wasting half their lives in traffic jams just like everyone else in the world is. They didn't need to do that.
Yeah, but traffic jams are good for podcasts. So I support them. Without the traffic jam, you do not have the podcast listener. Let's face facts.
You know, but you cannot say in the case of China that traffic problems were anything but engineered. They never, ever, ever had to go down that path.
Well, people like to be mobile. They like their mobility, and I agree with them. I like driving. Marcus will tell you probably the same thing.
Sure.
Just yep. being.
It is the always conundrum here. The things that you think provide your mobility are the things that trap you.
Yeah, but there are many ways, and they haven't really implemented them, even in China, to limit and control traffic. And one of them is called congestion pricing. They have implemented it in London, England, and it does work. It keeps the cars out with congestion pricing in their city center. So there are lots of ways to control behavior, and I still think that they will start implementing that as the technology becomes cheaper and more widely spread and accepted. And that's one of the many things that the COVID revolution has been implemented for, is to just really accelerate the digitization of people and the technology that controls them. And it is happening at a rapid rate. And that could be part of it. It's just limiting where the vehicles go and who can use this, who can use the resources at what time and for how long. And they'll use it in the name of saving Mother Earth. And people will go along with it.
They could have saved Mother Earth in China by simply not building the roads and moving to car economy. It was a really, really confusing move from my point of view.
Okay, well.
Yeah, I agree. That doesn't make any sense. Unless you see it from the globalist view. And exactly. It makes all the sense in the world.
Exactly. That's the only way it makes sense.
So I want to circle back, as Jen Psaki likes to say, and tell you why I came up with this topic earlier today. That's because over the last couple of days, and I'll post it over to Tim and I'll read it. It's a Vice article, and there's tons of articles that just came out from May 3rd that admits that the CDC tracks millions of phones to see if Americans followed COVID lockdown orders. And I call bullshit on this because it's in the mainstream. If the CDC was tracking us, this would never get leaked out, ever. Why is it all over the legacy news? CDC tracked millions of phones to see if Americans followed COVID lockdown orders. That's what I'm saying. I think a lot of this is fear porn. I hope I'm right.
And what do you think the objective of this fear porn is?
Self-policing.
Yeah.
Should I go more into detail?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, oh, Tim, I said like, damn it.
All right. I'm not tracking you tonight, so.
Are you tracking me?
No, I'm not. I'm not even thinking about it.
You need a little thing that goes ping whenever that word comes.
A bell.
Little jolt of energy. I think it's self-policing. I think it's a way for us to be paranoid. That's the point of why I brought up this list. Are we creating our own panopticon here? Or are they really going to do this? Are they really going to do what they say they're going to do?
Well, I think watching China, Australia after the election is in for a tough time. And I'll find out then. Our election is in 1 week before the end of May. And once that election's over, because there's no police on the roads at the moment, there's no masks, there are no restrictions anywhere in Australia, which is very strange. While over in China, they've locked down 30 cities. The case rates, et cetera, all the things that they used to lock down for, you know, two cases, there are thousands per day and no locking down, no tracking. It only makes sense to me if you think, okay, it's because there's an election on and the politicians don't want to be just drummed out with bad sentiment. There's no police on the roads. It's a very strange period right now in Victoria.
Frank,
so I think the tracking, is happening.
Frank, do you watch, just out of curiosity, do you watch the Aussie Cossack?
I used to, but I've kind of decided he's a bit of a field porn merchant as well, though. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just wondering if you watch him or not. I watch a few episodes with him. Some of the stuff he does is pretty funny with the cops.
Yeah. And I don't know how genuine it all is, Tiago. It just seems too cartoon characterish, really.
Yeah. He seems, it's just, especially now he's going on about the, Russian-Ukrainian thing.
That's right, which I just think, you know, to me, if he was really, you know, up to date with all this stuff, he would be thinking like us that it's just fake.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, I was just wondering if you watch him, because I heard he's pretty big, you know, in Australia, and I was just wanted to know if you've heard of him or not.
Oh, no, he's big. He comes up on my YouTube list. Mm-hmm. I've just got a question while we're going back to the ad tracking and so on. This article that you pushed up, Marcus, about CDC tracking.
Mm-hmm.
I've got ads for a t-shirt saying, I dream of becoming a grumpy old man, or I'd never dream of becoming a grumpy old man, but here I am, killing it. What ad have you got on your screen?
I have, you mean on the Vice one?
On the CDC tracked millions of phones to see if.
Yeah, it's on Vice. It's on Vice.com.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I have an ad block, so I have no ads.
Okay.
And there's actually, we could do a whole show about the pros and cons of an ad blocker. It's not what you think, but that's for another time. They're not, because they're actually, what they're doing is they're actually, it's malware in many cases, and it's actually tracking you worse.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
But so again, Marcus, what do you think is going to happen in the USA?
Mm-hmm.
Compared to, say, what's happening in China? Do you think what's happening in China now will go to the USA or not?
I last year I would have said yes. Here's an interesting thing. I take a 5 mile walk a couple times a week, and I was on my walk today before the show, and I ran into a buddy of mine from about 3 years ago, and he's a property manager / real estate investor. And he asked how business was. I said, it's terrible. My business went out of business because you can't get cars. And I was in the car business. And then we were talking about exclave private towns, et cetera, et cetera. Then I asked him, I returned the favor and asked him how he was doing. And he, you know, a lot of people are not honest. They always say everything is fine. And then you dig a little bit and everything is the opposite of fine. And he said that he has 432 properties under management. Rentals, And that they're all on forbearance, government forbearance, meaning that no one is paying their rent. Mm-hmm. And that ends in a couple months. And he says the paperwork that's involved to get, so this forbearance, the government actually writes him a check because he's the owner of the property, writes him a check. So they give a 12-month forbearance plus 3 months, or it was 3 months ahead. So that's coming, that's going away for most people in a couple of months. And I said, what's going to happen after that? I said, I don't know. I said, well, how are they going to pay? I don't know. I guess I'm going to have to become a collector. So you have people on forbearance. That means that they've stored up literally 12 months of unpaid rent plus three that comes due in 15 months, coming up in a couple months. Well, if you don't have the rent because of what's going on with COVID and no jobs, et cetera, how are you going to come up with all that rent? And I told him, I said, I have weekly discussions. We war game out with our family what we're going to do when our neighbor knocks on our door and demands that we feed them because they don't have the money. And I really see that coming in September. I see a lot of shit happening in September. So is it because of China? Not sure. I'm just looking at it from an economic standpoint. No one's working. No one wants to work. Where's the money going to come from if the government stops paying people in a couple months? So it'll be very interesting to see the shit show coming in about 5 months.
But I thought they were already stopping that. I've heard that from you quite a few times over the last year.
No, that was for unemployment.
Okay, but there was a lot of stop payments. Okay, what happened when the unemployment money stopped?
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
What happened when the unemployment money stopped, though?
Very good question. Well, then everyone was supposed to get a job, but no one wants to work because every small business person I talk to laments the fact that no one wants to work. It's very strange. Very, very strange. The roads are empty. People on Godlike Productions, a lot of threads about, you know, where are all the people? As you know, I train my backup computer on the live view of in St. Augustine of the Tiki Bar in St. Augustine. It's dead almost every night. Never used to be dead. It's very bizarre. Where did all the people go? That's a very common thing going on in the forums that I visit. It's very strange. It really makes you think that Jeff Berwick might be onto something, that we're in a video game and the NPCs, non-player combatants?
Yeah, non-player characters.
Characters. They just were erased from the video game and there's us. Now, that could be a whole nother show. Is that true? I don't know. So no, I don't know, Frank. I don't know what's going to happen, but we war game it out.
I can back up your observations here.
Okay.
The number of cars on the road this morning, even in where I live, mm-hmm. just driving from where I am to where I do the salt flaking,
mm-hmm.
it was eerie.
Yeah. It's like a holiday.
Yeah.
How about you, Tegan? Are you seeing that too?
Look, you know what you gentlemen are describing is across the world. Okay, so you listen to Gerald Celente, New York City, or he's just north of New York. Same thing. The place is dead. You come here to where I live on the east coast of Canada. It's dead. You go out on a Saturday night. Doesn't feel like Saturday night anymore. There's mm-hmm. hardly any cars out. The restaurants are like not even close to capacity. Mm-hmm. It's a disaster. And what you're saying about the commercial real estate market, absolutely 100%. It's going to be destroyed. Actually, it's great that you brought that up yesterday. I talked to one of the largest apartment building owners here in Nova Scotia. He told me he has to sell half of his properties because the energy prices here to heat the homes are getting too expensive and he can't raise the rents anymore in the apartment building. So he's got to get rid of them. He was asking my opinion what he should do. I told him the interest rates are going higher and higher. They're incrementally going up. I said, you better sell it now because when those interest rates get a little bit too high, the real estate market's going to be done. You're not going to be able to sell the property for any kind of real value.
Right.
So I told him you better hurry it up and sell it within the next 6 months. And this is one of the largest property owners here in Nova Scotia. So it's a ghost town. Everything's a ghost town. These people are scared to go out because they think they're going to catch some virus. Many of them got no money to go out. It's a disaster. It's not going to end well, like we've been, you know, discussing for months and months on end now.
Right.
All right. Well, we've been going about an hour or so. Did you want to wrap this one up, Marcus?
That's all I got. I wish, I was surprised. I thought this would bring in a little bit more feistiness. Everyone was pretty subdued. A little disappointed with that. We need to a little bit more feisty. I thought people would start screaming at me because I'm thinking this way. That's what I was looking for. I got none of that.
You got to pick a little bit more feistier topic like abortion and Roe versus Wade, something like that. I don't know.
We'll do that for next. We'll do that for next time.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
that, I mean.
If you were going to tell me that ABBA was better than the Beatles, then you know, we might.
Oh, that'll just. We'll have to start playing ABBA music and Beatles. And, yeah.
Well, to be honest with you, Marcus, I'm feeling a little down today. My Toronto Maple Leafs lost last night.
I saw that. So, it was a great game, though. It was a good game.
Marcus is watching Tampa. Leaf games?
What's that?
Is Marcus watching Leaf games? That's amazing.
Well, he's in Pennsylvania. He's near, I would imagine he's near somewhere near Pittsburgh or Philadelphia.
Yeah, he's got a lot. Yeah. Pittsburgh is
the Flyers,
still in it.
The Flyers suck. I got no one to watch. So what am I supposed
What's
to do?
What's wrong with Pittsburgh? They're still in it.
Fuck Pittsburgh. No one likes Pittsburgh around here. It's a dividing line.
Oh, Pittsburgh has Sid the Kid, for God's sakes, and a Tiago for sure. That's your backyard. Isn't he from Sydney?
Yeah, well, Cole Harbour, Nova Scotia, just outside Halifax.
Oh, right.
I couldn't give a shit about him. I grew up in Toronto my whole life.
Yeah, that's
Toronto
true.
Maple Leafs. I live and breathe the Toronto Maple Leafs. So tomorrow night in Tampa, Florida, let's see what's going to happen tomorrow night. They got to bring their A game. They got to stop taking stupid penalties. And, I think we got a chance. We'll see what happens.
Now around
So you don't think it's all about sports bet then?
What's that?
You don't think the results are decided by sports bet then?
I hope not. I hope that's a good question. I don't know. You know, I hope that's not rigged too. That would suck because I really like watching hockey. But
Major League sports, when it comes to the playoffs, there's a lot of rigging going on. I really backed off watching the Leafs and I'm not too confident on that. I don't know if there's any rigging for this year, any particular team they need to win or engineer for PSYOP purposes because they kind of killed off sports for a couple of years with the COVIDs. It's sort of
I hope they rig the Toronto Maple Leafs for PSYOPs. I hope Toronto is going to be the center of the next PSYOP and whatever kind of bird flu or avian flu they want spreading within the population. We'll see what happens, but we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. What do you got cooking for next week, Marcus?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about how the Leafs lost the playoff game.
Oh shit! Don't tell me that.
Yeah. He just woke up, Tiago for sure. He found his.
Oh my god! That was the feistiness I was looking for. Yeah.
Yeah.
I should have said something like that. The Maple Leafs were tracking their fans, something to that effect.
Oh God, that's okay. I watch all the Leaf games here on a legal feed that I have here. So
yeah, I do the same. I got a legal feed. Yep.
Yeah.
And by the way, Tiago, I've talked about this many times that the major sporting events, the PSYOP of that is population boom. In other words, if you type in something like Super Bowl babies into your favorite search engine, you'll see that whoever wins the Super Bowl, there is an explosion of population in that city, and there's a big downdraft of population reduction in the losing city. And I wonder out loud if that's really what this is all about.
Yeah, that's
instant migration.
It's possible. I know. I do know that if the Toronto Maple Leafs win the Stanley Cup, they're going to tear Toronto apart. It's going to go upside down.
A long way to go, and I don't think
come on, man.
There's a lot of negativity. This is not a team that can deliver
It's going to be different this year. It's going to be different this year.
And I know, yeah. Yeah, that's the PSYOP. And I know Frank's probably not too... Frank's far away from hockey in Canada, so yes. I don't think this is...
No, I've got...
This is resonating a bit for you?
Friends that watch... He's Canadian, and his kids all play ice hockey. He's a very fine ice hockey player that is a mate of mine. And he... yeah, these guys are right into ice hockey. Yeah. And Frank's also old boss's wife is the cousin of the one of the leading hockey players in the USA.
Okay. There's a lot of them, so you got to be specific.
Is it Wayne Gretzky?
Yeah. He's actually long retired. He just came up because a lot of people think he doesn't look too well already. There are many possible. I haven't seen him. I think he's promoting some gambling thing right now, and that topic came up around our dinner table tonight and on a podcast I listened to. And one of the guys who...
To me, it looks like he's promoting some chemotherapy treatment because he looks terrible.
I haven't seen him, but someone thought he looked like a recovering alcoholic, or he's an alcoholic. That's an alcoholic who said he recognized the facial features of Wayne Gretzky. And this is the same guy that I was on this guy's show in 2017 when I brought up that Wayne Gretzky could be a male to female or female to male, and he went ballistic. So that was that was back at the beginning of my elite gender inversion research, and I just sort of brought it up as a lark because someone had mentioned it, but I didn't really believe it. But
see, now Frank's ears have perked up now, Tim. See,
they have, because I watched an episode of Grace and Frankie or something, which is Jane Fonda and Lily Hamlin TV show. Watching them last night, they just look like men now.
Oh, it's really hard to unsee everything now. That's a real problem.
It's very hard.
As long as we're talking about that, can I end with a question?
Yeah.
Can you type in Taylor Dane? Do you remember Taylor Dane?
Yeah.
Take it to my heart.
That's it.
Yep.
Is that a dude or am I just crazy?
Well, she's probably been transvestigated.
Well, can you do a quick transvestigation on this thing?
We'll call it it. It's old from way in the back of the day, and we'll see if there's a transvestigation. I'm sure
it's not aging well, is it?
I think it's a lot of plastic surgery is what it is. That's what it looks
like. Well, that's always the plausible deniability. They bring that up all the time.
See, to me, the unisex name is always the giveaway. Taylor can be a man or a woman.
That's true.
I agree with you, Marcus. They give a name like that.
She looked good back in the 80s, but now I went to her
concert with my wife. It was like the only concert I ever went to.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll have
so
to.
So no one can tell me, can give me a definitive thought on whether it's a dude or a chick?
Well, we need
a few.
It
doesn't look like a woman anymore, does it?
Yeah, I haven't looked at enough pictures yet. I think they're almost, this entity is almost too far in the past to have been picked up on the current transvestigation radar. I don't see it. I don't see anyone has done anything on her. I've totally forgot about the entity myself. Lisa Wonderman.
I love how we're talking. He, his, her, him, they.
Lisa Wonderman entity. There's another unisex name. Leslie.
What?
Leslie. That's the person's name.
Right. Pat Benatar. I mean, it just goes on and on and on.
Yeah, Leslie Wonderman. So I don't know.
If you type in LGBT Taylor Dane, and then when someone's featured on the GLAAD website, they were 100% tranny. 100%, and of course, it is. If you type in glad, you know, with the dots between G, L, A, A, D.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, really most of the celebrities, and this is the hard part that I've been challenged many times, I really believe that almost everyone in Hollywood, everyone highly promoted, that is, at the top, are inverted.
So I agree 100%.
So you just start there. And that's how you have to start, because there are only so many positions in the culture influencing community. We might think there's thousands, but there really aren't. You know, they recycle Tom Cruise in so many movies. That's always been one of my pet peeves. I thought there are lots of talented people, or people that could be trained to be talented. Do we have to see the same people over and over again? Their plausible deniability is that it's the star that brings people to the movies. It's not the story or anything. It's always the star. But I think it's mainly because they limit the number of positions available just so they can control these people. And they have huge investments in their transition. And it's, they're all on huge maintenance programs, because if you back off on any of the aspects of inversion, they will deflate like balloons. Yeah.
You know, what do you say? Hey, what do you guys, I had a neighbor the other day who's trying to talk to me about this, gender, him, her, like, Marcus was suggesting, and I couldn't help it, man. I had to tell her what I thought. Like, I said, look, distortions of reality and all this kind of stuff, you should seek mental, like, counseling or something like that, don't you think? Mm-hmm. And she did, and you know, maybe electroshock treatment or something, I don't know. Like, it's just really bizarre to me, and like, it, everyone's on board with this in my neighborhood, and
it's a worldwide thing. It's worldwide.
Yeah, it's just I find, I don't know about you guys, but I find sometimes I'm living in a twilight zone out here. And
well, you're not, you know, you're living, it's the same everywhere, because media permeates even the darkest corners of every country now, because anywhere where there's a wire connecting someone to the internet, they're getting the message. That's what's different in 2022 as opposed to 50 years ago. Everyone is getting the same message. Doesn't matter where you are.
Look at that picture you put up there now, though. Whoever's put that up, that tablet, that is a frightening visage, isn't it?
Oh, it looks like a complete disaster. Absolutely.
It looks like a man. It's well done. I don't think it's a disaster. It's 60, and there's just lots of the things we look for, the brow ridge, and really the gold standard. It's still the hips, the pelvic bone, which cannot really be easily altered. You can pad all around it and make distractive photos and Photoshop, but the pelvic bone is the gold standard. And I know somebody created a video against Mr. E mocking that, but Mr. E, like I had on last night's broadcast, he really brings the total picture of what this is all about, the transhumanism. It's really quite an organized thing. It's not just a couple of people that don't like the sex that they were born. It's way
all
more
hail Mr. E is all I can say. He's
actually very intelligent.
Great interview, and you know, just a first class piece of entertainment last night.
Yes.
Oh, good. Thanks.
Agreed. If you type in Taylor Dane Costa Rica, it looks like a girl. It's very confusing. Try that. Taylor Dane Costa Rica. And then go to the People magazine.
Okay. This one has sort of fallen off my radar because it hasn't been in the news for a long time. Oh, I totally forgot.
Taylor Dane Costa Rica.
I will send this to the leading transvestigator. Okay, it's a photo diary you want to look at?
Yep. Transvestigator.
That one right there. That looks like a girl to me.
Well, they're supposed to, but we're not seeing anything down below. You're seeing large breasts, but we're not. There's way more to see. And we don't even know if this is Photoshopped in any way. Because this is People magazine, for God's sake. So they've got the top technology for Photoshopping.
Right.
Unfortunately, they do look like females. So does, I've never really been attracted to Ann Wilson. There's always been a problem there, but you need to realize there's always been castratos. Always. Because they're the best singers. You're combining the power of a male and removing the testosterone, and it creates all kinds of incredible effects.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's well, even in real life, Marcus, you've been to Miami, Florida on the strip there. When I was there, some of these women they're beautiful, but they're men. But I couldn't tell the difference until you actually passed by them on the street. It was incredible. The ones that I found that were in South Beach, Miami, they look exactly like women.
Okay, so I got a quick story to end this. And we were in Washington.
And
we were in
Washington, D.C. By the way, sorry, just quickly. Here's the Wilson sisters off People magazine. I've always just looked at these two people before I had any awareness to what was going on, and they always had a very butch look. Sorry, and it's in a butch business. So this picture doesn't do anything to convince me that these are women.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. I think the Kirk Douglas chin is particularly damning.
With the butt crack, that's sort of...
I think we need a few beers to talk about this stuff. It would make it so much better.
Oh, I like doing.
So you're talking about being in Miami and being fooled, and that's, my wife doesn't understand why am I so obsessed about this.
Me too. I get a lot of that, Mark.
Okay, when I watch Price is Right when I was in my teens, and I get it. All excited about seeing the showcase, Bob's girls.
Yeah, Bob's girls.
And they're Bob's dudes.
Yeah, I never looked at them. Yeah, they, especially Diane, and she complained that Bob was always grabbing her butt or whatever.
Right.
If I end up finding out that Barbara Eden is a bloke, I don't know what I'm going
to
do.
Yeah, yeah. I'd have to look at her too.
So I was in Washington, D.C. On Saturday for the first time forever since COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And on the metro train, because they went maskless a week ago, and of course we're the only ones on the train without a mask. So some hot looking girl with a mask on sits next to me. Normally my wife would be next to me. This hot girl was next to me. Empty train. Couldn't stop staring at me. She had a little bippy shirt on, nice boobs. She was wearing these, what are those pants where it's like floods? Capris. She had capris on, looked totally like a woman. Blonde flowing hair, get off the train, go down the escalator to go to the Ronald Reagan Airport, which you can't go into anymore because of the new terrorism bill. No one's allowed into the airport unless you have a ticket.
Wow.
She goes down the stairs and it's a fucking dude talking. Mm. My wife just busted up. I couldn't believe it was a dude. I couldn't believe it. I kept staring at her. So yes, I get caught all the time and like what? I thought you guys would laugh at that.
That's great.
I got caught out the other night at the pub as well. Exactly the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you might see more of it in the karaoke bars. That would be interesting. You're out in the real world, unlike us, keyboard warriors.
It was a recent thing, though. It wasn't around until 3 or 4 years ago.
Right.
It's really, it started to be a commonplace now. And it's very crazy.
Well, the only reason that I like talking about it is the mainstream legacy media is promoting it like crazy. So it is an agenda item, not going away. But we have every right and obligation to try and reverse engineer what the hell is going on. What is the agenda? What is the purpose? It's hard to explain the purpose without a lot of historical context, and that's what Mystery is good at. That's what I'm not good at, because I know that when I try to explain it to the regular people, they don't have the patience to understand the history. They don't know the history. So again, you trying to explain something in 5 minutes, why it's happening, what's the purpose, why bother, you really need to know the Androgyne agenda. That's really what Mr. E brings to the table. He's not just a fly-by-night guy who's laughing at tranny boys. It's way deeper. This is a religion. It's
right.
And these are their priests. They're high priests. They're in all the position of power. And celebrities have tons of power compared to, say, a run-of-the-mill politician.
You know, they're actually called Kadesh, those priests.
Mm-hmm.
And the Kardashians.
Oh, right.
Coincidentally.
Yeah, they choose the names wisely.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a religion. It's an art. It's a Kabbalah. It's a cult. It's so much mixed in. And because we're not trained at all to recognize it, we're just dazzled and deceived all day long. So that I just...
We are the profane.
Yeah, I just like to educate myself in general, and I still don't get it. That's why I just keep pushing at the research. I like looking at cute guys dressed up as girls, but I really want to know what's going on.
Are you serious?
I want to know. That's why I do the research. I want to know what...
Wait, you like looking at that?
Like ladyboys?
Who never... I'm talking about Sandra Bullock. I'm talking about Demi Moore. Don't tell me you didn't look at those girls, those guys. Don't tell
me. I get angry when I find out someone's deceiving me. I get angry. I don't like looking at that.
Mm-hmm. But to me, it's like looking at art. If you're sculpting something from one thing to another, it's amazing.
Wow, you're way more heterosexual than I am, I guess.
I don't know. I'm not tracking how you're thinking about it. I'm really just amazed at just the level of deception and the why. And I know it's against women as well, as we've talked about. They hate women because they can make life. And that's the power they want to take away and take control of. That's clear. They work at both sides. They want to control the supply of life, and they want to accelerate the rate of death. That's those two tracks are working in the same direction. On that happy note, I think we should call it a night.
And thanks for inviting me. I appreciate it, Tim. Good talking to you guys.
Thank you for the invitation.
I appreciate it.
It was a different kind of show, as always, which is... We keep the audience guessing how this is going to go.
It was up and down. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, we woke you up. We'll talk a little more hockey maybe at the top end to wake everyone up, and maybe get something for Frank to get going on as well.
Oh, I have an announcement. Speaking of Frank, I totally forgot about this.
Mm-hmm.
Frank, I told you that I was going to make some changes and take the salt book that we wrote. Do you remember what year we wrote that?
2014, was it?
That is correct. And I was going to offer it for free. So there's no catch, no email, no nothing. If you go to escapethenewnormal.com/salt or go to Escape the New Normal, click on the Marcus Allen Show and look at the bottom and click on salt. It's entirely free.
And I think you've already saved 100 lives, Marcus, just by doing that.
I think it's more. And I also updated the recipe section. Frank, you talked about orange juice and salt as a way to get salt down in an easy way.
Lemon juice, yeah.
Oh, not orange juice?
Lemon juice is my favorite way, but yep.
So I found an even better way, I think. Our whole family loves it, which is apple cider and salt.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. Brings it to a whole nother level.
Yeah.
So I'll put that in the companion notes at the end too. Yeah. So now you can get the truth about salt. You can get it for free.
Wow.
There you go.
Worth the price of admission for tonight.
Oh my goodness.
I think it's very generous of you, Marcus, and great.
Yeah.
The creator would love you.
Who? My creator?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going. My creator wants to send me to hell. What are you kidding?
That is redemption for all of us. Even the sinners. All right, guys. Have a good night. All the best. And don't forget fakeologist.com/donate if you liked the show. Take care.
Good night. Have a good weekend.
Good night.
See you guys.
Bye. Good night.
All right.
I'm off again.